Let's talk about the three things that have been kind of commissioned for this year as a church. So the first one is that we were going to do our best to try to read the Bible. Second one was to pray for someone in reference to like laying hands on someone that, you know, for every reason they may need prayer. And the third was to share your faith. To show up on time? Okay, well, we all got to work on that one. Well, the idea of every one of those clearly isn't something that comes from the outside in. In other words, all those three things aren't things that are going to come because someone keeps encouraging you to do it. Those three things are things that come from inside out. The desire to want to share your faith. It isn't because someone can pay. So have you shared your faith today? Oh, no. Okay, I'm gonna go do it. So it's persuaded, encouraged, and motivated from the outside. Now that could help, but it really isn't going to happen until it comes from inside out. Same with reading your word. You know, you could be asked all the time, "Are you reading your word?" Whether it's a book like this, in reference like this, or it's on your phone or whatever it may be, just the idea, are you reading it? Oh, no, I didn't. Oh, I forgot. Like, I'll read it. I just read. And that has to come. It doesn't make the impact when it starts coming from inside out. The Bible talks clearly that out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. So what it's really saying is who you are deep down inside is really who you are. And so when we know from deep down inside, the desire to want to read God's word, the desire to want to share our faith, the desire to want to go help those that are in need by praying for them. When that comes from inside out, you'll start seeing the change. It always has to be encouraged from the outside in, which is good, but we'll realize we still haven't made the impact that it could make. In other words, there's more. There's the ability to go deeper. Having a Bible. Just to have a Bible or having the app on your phone, it's like you know, being hungry but having food and just looking at it. You're hungry, your spirit is crying inside that I need to get into God's word daily, but we're just looking at it. Now, if we just read the word, okay, we just read, okay, did you read the Bible today? I just read it. Yes, I read it. I read my portion. It's like getting that food and swallowing without chewing. It is, yes, I gulped it. Now it's going to bring nutrition because the word of God is a two-edged sword. It's going to pierce the heart. It's going to make the impact it's going to make. But if you want to really be able to grab everything you can on it, the Bible says very clearly as we read, it says, you know, study to show yourself approved. So the ability is not just reading it. It's the ability to read it and then chew on it. So it's like grabbing that food, putting it in your mouth, and chew on that for a little bit. Take a moment to just look at what is it that you're reading. Maybe reference it to some other part of the Bible or the chapter before to the chapter afterwards. And you'll find out and you'll start seeing how the Word of God really becomes. And I think I mentioned to this some time before, the Word of God becomes more three-dimensional than just a black and white painting. Remember we talked about that one time? I don't know if you guys, if some of you are nodding, yeah, maybe. I talked about how clearly the Word of God can be just a black and white coloring book mentality. Adult coloring books are really popular right now. And so it's just like getting a color book and you see black and white. Well, again, you could put some color on that, but when you really start getting into the Word of God, you start getting a little bit deeper into it, you study and start looking at it, you find yourself, you're kind of like in the realm of it. You could see all around you. You could see what's going on. When you start meditating on His Word, you start focusing on His Word. It's just amazing to see what God will reveal to you. It's the same concept as this. Have you ever read the same verse, the same one that you may have read some time ago, but now it means something different? It's like a different message, it's a different focus, because the Word of God is alive. It's alive. It's not just a book of history, and yet it does have history. It's not just a book of love letters, and kind of people say, "What's my love letter from God to me?" It isn't just love letters. It is our guidebook. It is instruction book. It is everything you can imagine is all here, and yet it's blessed by the Holy Spirit so that when you read this, the Word of God, It's amazing to see what God is going to do as He walks and guides through your life. Now, I keep challenging in the weeks that I get to be with you guys. I'm going to do my part as that outside person to say, hey, let's keep going. Let's do the best we can to get in. But the challenge is, what can we do to actually get the Word of God, the ability, the desire to witness, the desire to help those that are in need, have that come from, it's coming from inside of me, instead of just always having to be encouraged on the outside. Okay, so I'm going to present that and bring that to you. So I'm going to continue from where we left off last week. Last week, we talked about, since this is the beginning of the year and our ability to focus on the new beginning, I took you last week to the book of Acts, and we targeted on those first few leaders that came upon the ability to serve. And we talked about that in Acts chapter 6, and we talked about that in Acts chapter 7, and how God used the ministers, the preachers of that time. They all started out serving. Every one of them started out serving. We talked about the idea of that a position of serving, even to the least job that nobody wants to do. You know, we talked last week about the idea of even, well, who wants to have latrine duty? You know, nobody wants to clean the toilets. Nobody wants to sweep. Nobody. It's a very humbling position. But yet the leaders of that time here, the apostles, they all started that way. And they got so overwhelming that they called upon leaders. And we read last week about one particular, and I want to continue on the story from there. In Acts chapter 7, at the end here, let me just reflect back and go from there. This time I did bring my eyes with me. As I'm getting older, I'm realizing more and more it is one big blur until I put these on. All right, here we go. Acts chapter 7, verse 56. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep, and Saul approved of their killing him. I wanted to bring out a point on this here, just so we can look at it. Saul was clearly the spearhead and the leader of wanting to come against this new movement called the Way. These were the Christians that were converting to the concept, the life of Jesus. And here we see that Stephen was one of those chosen ones that were serving tables. When the apostles said, hey, we shouldn't be serving the tables and trying to prepare to preach the word. We got to train more people up. And again, so they did. And the first one mentioned there in Acts 6 was Stephen. So we read about Stephen's life. And at the end here, it said that Saul was there. And right before they were about to throw their rocks at Stephen, before they were going to stone him, again, they were not talking little skipping rocks, pebbles, we're talking stones, big boulders. And about to do that very thing, the Bible says that they took their coats off and they laid their coats before Saul. Now, that's huge, because remember, and we always that during Easter time, and we have Palm Sunday, and we talked about that when a person lays his coat down, and that's what they did for Jesus as he was entering into Jerusalem, they said they waved their palm branches, but they took their cloaks off, and they laid them down before. That, culturally, is a symbol of authority. In other words, because your coat is your identity. Your coat is who you are. You could see by any coat of our uniforms of work and any kind. You look at a doctor's coat, you look at a policeman or a fireman, or you can look at whoever wears a particular coat that identifies them. And when you literally come and lay yourself down, that's what they're doing. They did this not only to Jesus, but they now did this here to Saul. And they're saying basically, look, whatever you stand for, whatever you do, whatever you want to do, I'm with you. That is common in the concept of amen. When you say amen, you're basically saying the same concept. I agree. It isn't amen is saying, I get it.
Oh, hey, that was a good point.
No, when you say amen, you are literally saying in a verse, in a verb, in a word, you're saying, I'm taking my coat off and I'm agreeing with what you're saying. I am giving you who I am to your thought, to your path, to what you're living, to what you're doing. I'm saying that for this reason here, is that these people were devoted to the cause of Saul. So much so that the violence that they were about to take place right here. We see what's going on in our world today with ISIS and everything that's happening. To think, how is it that people that quickly could be changed into that mindset where they've taken their cloaks off, let's say, and laid it down at the leaders of ISIS and saying, I'm with you and I will do this. And it's not just do this until I give up or do this until I'm tired. It's literally saying, I do this until I die. It's something really powerful with our words and our actions that we speak. And again, it has to come from the core of who we are. We speak. When we say yes, let it be yes. When we say no, let it be no. Our words are very powerful. This symbol here of laying their coats down before Saul is a pretty, pretty powerful thing. It's something that we have to learn from when we see, what are we doing? Where are we laying our identity to? The idea of us wanting to get closer to God throughout this year, it is powerful. Those three things of helping others, getting to His Word, and the ability to reading His Word, it's going to help you walk deeper in your walk with God. As we continue to read, I want to go on from here. Chapter 8. It says, on that day, verse 1, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Talk about persecution. Talk about what's going on to see in the world today, what's going on here. It's something that history has a way of repeating itself. But we can learn from history. We can learn from what happened then to how do we live today. If we're seeing the same thing, the persecution that's going on there, how do we live today to be to learn from that? Again, there's two ways to learn. You learn through wisdom or you learn through consequence. Learning through wisdom basically says, I'm learning from someone else's experience and they're telling me to do this and I'm going to learn from that. That's wisdom. Learning from consequence is basically saying, I don't care what you say, you can't tell me what to do, I'm going to go do it myself. So if I ran into that wall and broke my nose and I said, hey, don't run into the wall, you're going to break your nose, and you say, don't tell me what to do, and you run in the wrong, then you come back, well, you learned. You could have learned through wisdom, but you decided to learn through consequence. And here we have the ability now, how do we make it today? How do we live in today? How do we get, yes, deeper with God today, but how do we deal with life circumstances and situations that are around us, very similar to what happened here? Our goal and desire is to be able to get so close with God that you literally are hearing God. I know we always think about hearing Him by way of an audible voice and the clouds thundering and so on, but I'm talking about understanding when God is speaking to you that you have such a peace that you understand that it's God that's speaking to you and it wasn't the pizza last night. Okay, it's God literally talking to you, and you know, this is real. This isn't just some story. This is just some religion. This isn't just some belief that I'm pouring myself into. This is real, and God is real, and He speaks to me today. And it's not just because I read His Word He spoke to me. But there's literally what's called the Logos, the written Word, and the Rhema Word. That Spirit of God, His Spirit, comes and gives you such a peace that you know that you're going in the direction He wants you to go. Let's keep reading. Now it says here, chapter 8, verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip, now you might say, well, it says, well, who was Philip? Back in Acts 6, when they were reading, we read the list and it said, 6, verse 5, this proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. The first 7 guys that they selected, we talked about the first one, but now the second guy. It wasn't like he was second, you know, in command or as much, that they were just now, when you're going to talk about one or another, here's the situation. Stephen's already got stoned and got killed. In this situation, now we're talking about Philip. And this is really powerful because we're learning from these guys. Here, Philip has a different circumstance. I look at what happened with Stephen is prior to the persecution. Remember, we always look back. Remember, people say, I don't know, I'm from the 80s myself. And so the idea of saying, oh, yeah, when the 80s and the 70s, even when, during my time growing up in the 80s, everyone could talk about the good old 50s, hanging out in the 50s and the soda shops, and it looked fun, and everybody remembers, and then the 60s were crazy, people would say. But we have a tendency to always look back. I look, when I read this here, you think about Stephen. Stephen was before the switch, before things changed. I heard something earlier this week, and it was really powerful, because people were saying, well, I don't really see what happened. The blood moons, nothing really happened. You know, nothing really took place in September and all the different signs, and everyone was like, oh, the end is here, and everything was going on. And this minister brought this point out, and I just wanted to share this with you, that he said, everyone's looking for this concept. Normal, 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 and then boom, something big is going to happen. Therefore, it's like, oh, this is the end of the world. And that's where they look to the blood moons and all that. You know, when you read the blood moons, remember we talked about those blood moons represented a sign. It's like if you know there's something coming up, there's a sign ahead of before what comes up to let you know it's coming up. The blood moons and all those that took place, all of that was a sign of things to come. But people think about, no, well, nothing happened. Nothing happened. So they look at it this way. Normal, 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 and they want something big to happen. Well, nothing happened. And this minister was pointing out something did happen. Because look at what happens here. Look at how life really is right now. Normal, 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 normal. And who you are here, normal, is not who you are here, normal. In other words, normal changes. Back in the 50s, it was illegal to have abortions, but now it's normal. Back in those days, it was illegal to have any kind of relationship, even marriage, in any context outside of traditional marriage, biblical marriage. It's normal today. Even now, the biggest push, we even pushed in New York about transgender bathrooms and everything in that kind, that was totally illegal. And now it's normal today. So who we are today from who we were back then, it was normal back then, but it's normal here too. So something did change. We're not the same people that we were. America is not the same as it was in one time. But if you ask the people here, well, nothing happened. It's kind of, you've heard the old story about killing that frog in the boiling water. Some of you? None of you? Some? Okay. The idea is stating that you can get a frog that's alive, and if you put it in hot water, it's immediately going to jump out. But if you put it in cold water and you cover the lid and you just crank the heat up and you just gradually let it warm up, it will eventually die because it will boil and the heat will kill it. But it won't jump out, because it was so changed within time. Here we have two different scenarios. These two guys started out at the same time. They had probably the table next to each other, and they're asking, hey, Stephen, how you doing? Oh, man, I got to clean this table, and I got to serve those people, and I got, yeah, and Philip's over here saying, yeah, I got to work and get the food over here, and I got to go get the groceries, because that's what their job was. They started together, but now they're serving in two different time frames. One was before it all happened, and now one is serving after. So we could relate to Stephen and saying, man, look what God did through him. And we could get into him. But I want you to get into Philip here. Philip is after the persecution. Philip is happening during the persecution. And yet he has every excuse and every right to even just give up on God. Well, I'm not going to die for this. I'm not going to continue in this. They're killing people. They're putting people in prison, if you believe, and had every chance like anybody else to say, I'm out. What? Pain? I'm out. Persecution? I'm out. But he made a choice to stay in. And when you make a choice to stay in, when everything could come easily against you, in front of your friends at school, in front of your people at work, when everything could come against you and you have to take a stand, this is the scenario that we're living in right now, where Philip is saying, I'm in still, no matter what. There is a switch. This minister that I was referring to that talked about being normal, he said there was a drastic thing that took place, but it was so normal and you don't hear about it that it just became a part of the norm. And that was September 30th when Russia entered the war. When Russia entered the war in Syria against ISIS, everything changed. And if you want to get into detail about how everything changed, you could see exactly where it's at. So much so that, I was sharing with my wife about this, that so much so that now Russia, think about this, America was on top. At that time, we were against abortion. At that time, we were against other lifestyles of living in that manner. At that time, we were against all those things that the Bible is very clear about. But America's not on top. And we support all those things that we were against before. Russia is now on top, according to strength of the world and which is the country that the most influential and so on. According to the news, Russia is on top, and they just passed in Russia, they just passed that it is illegal for abortions. They passed that it is illegal to be homosexual. They passed it's illegal to teach homosexuality. All the very things that, let's say, America so many years ago were for, now for as far as living a biblical life. Now, I'm not promoting Russia here, guys. I'm just stating now, isn't it something that now Russia is on top because they're taking all this stand, and yet America was over here. So there was, we're bringing that point out, September 30th, when Russia entered in, it was the change. Here is a scenario now. There is a change in Philip's life. It wasn't like it was before when everybody was getting saved and everybody's excited and there was revival and there was outreach and everybody, they were feeding people. That's the outreach part. They were serving people. Things were happening. Miracles, signs, and wonders. We read about how all this was going on with Stephen. Miracles, signs, and wonders followed him. Now let's look at this here with Philip. Verse 4. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. Listen to this, some of the, in verse 7. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was a great joy in the city. The verses following start talking about a certain character by the name of Simon the sorcerer. He was so impressed with all the miracles, signs, and wonders that was going on that literally he was saying, hey, I want to buy that. He really thought he could buy his way into heaven, buy his way into the things of God. And basically saying, look, I'll give you whatever you want. Give me that power. He recognized here was a man who was into occultic practices. Here was a man that was of the world, and he saw the power of God move. And he basically thought, like a lot of people do, well, what do I have to do? Just tell me and I'll buy it. He was rebuked for that thought. And let me take you down here towards the bottom here of verse 8, chapter 8, I'm sorry. Verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road and the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Notice one thing here. The Bible led Philip to go into Samaria and now leading him to Gaza. This is huge. In the time that Philip is in, where persecution and things are coming against him, he is clearly hearing from God. And God is telling him where to go. Can I share this with you? God doesn't tell you to leave somewhere. He tells you to go somewhere. He guides you always. He doesn't just tell you to wander. Okay? He guides you to a place. God will always direct you. Now, it may not be clear. You may know that you need to walk. I mean, Abraham, he said, go and walk to a land that you don't know. He's going to guide you, but you've got to take that first step of saying, God, I trust you enough to guide me. You're my leader. You're my guide. You're the one guiding this adventure in my life. You're the one with me. And when you tell me to go, I'm going to go. In this scenario, twice we're seeing that the Holy Spirit guided him and told him to go into these places. Why is this important for today? Because, my friend, each one of us are in the same place, that we are wanting to hear from God direction for our life. We want to know for this year, God, what do you have for me? Where am I going? This is clearly, I'm saying a prayer for me all the time, just wanting and believing that God has something. Do I know exactly what this year is going to look like? I don't. All I know is God saying, today, go here. Prepare for this. There is great vision. I mean, I could talk vision all day long. But I'm talking about the ability to know, where do I take my next step? What am I supposed to do? I could only rely that God is God, and I trust him, and that he will protect me, and he will protect my family, and he will help us to take each step at a time. And while I'm living in that day, waiting upon the Lord so he could renew my strength, I'm waiting on him. God will always provide for that day. He will always take care of me for that day. We have a tendency to worry about tomorrow. We have a tendency to worry about the debt that's owed tomorrow. We're worried about the situation tomorrow. We're worried about everything tomorrow. And God is saying, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's not promised to you. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you're living in. Today is the day. Just give everything to me. If you're giving everything to worry, you're not giving it to me, God would say. Here in this situation, God guided him. Does he just guide you to guide you, just to make your life better? Absolutely not. He guides you because he has a purpose and a plan. God's will, people always wonder, well, what's God's will? Clearly, that none would perish. So that the fact that we would pray, God, use me so I can share your word to someone, I believe Philip is in that same place today. Philip was in this situation where he's asking God to guide him. Again, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out on his way. He met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means the queen of Ethiopia. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. I've had encounters throughout the time that we've been ministering. When we first started off in this outreach of trying to help people in the ministry that we do, anybody ever had a car breakdown on you? Okay, raise your hand. I will see that. Okay, probably a lot of us. Okay, most of us here. We would always have so many miles on our cars because we literally traveled throughout the United States preparing and telling people about what we were going to do. And I would always have used vehicles. We'd get something, we'd fix it up, and we'd go on the road. And after the first breakdown, we would pull over, break down, pray. Sometimes it was more crying. You know, God, why? Where? And it never failed that God would bring us a tow truck driver or a mechanic, and the next thing you know, we're witnessing to them. Well, what do you do? Well, we're on the road, telling the vision in the heart of what we do. Well, after the second time we broke down, again, kicking the tire, doing everything, oh, mad, God would bring another person. We had to eventually get AAA insurance because we were breaking down throughout the United States with all different cars. We've had so many different cars. And yes, I do take care of the car. Well, you'd only change the oil, brother. You would. No, I changed the oil. It was weird things that would just break down on these things. But for whatever reason, we'd pull over. Now it got to a place, and I remember when I had to call my wife because I was coming in from the east or somewhere. And I ended up breaking down at Echo Reservoir. You guys know where that is? Right here on 80? And it's 2 in the morning. And I had to, and I'm pulling over. And immediately I'm like, oh, no. And so I started praying, okay, God, who do you want me to talk to? I was able to make it into that gas station right there at that Best Western. And I had to call Anna, which I felt bad because then she had to go from here all the way out there to go pick me up. But I had to pray, okay, God, who do you want me to talk to? So I sat there at that gas station and pulled up a car. The gas station's closed, and he pumps his gas, and he goes, you okay? I said, yeah, I broke down. My wife's on his way. And he says, so the question, so what do you do? And right there, I was able to lead that guy to the Lord and pray with him at 3 in the morning. And he was on his way to California. His father had just died. He was hurting. And I was able to pray with him. I gave him because I had books and stuff. And I was able to give him some material. And it was a crazy thing. When I read this, again, this is the chewing part I'm referring to. I could just read the story and just read it to you. And, hallelujah. God bless you. And we all go home. I could read it like that. It's like eating it and swallowing. But when I chew on this, I reflect back to what God is doing in me. When I read Philip's story here, I'm thinking about in the time he was living in, similar to the times we're living in, I'm looking at that God is guiding him. I want God to guide me. I look at God is guiding him, and not only this, look at, let's read on. It said, verse 30, then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. He says, do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. What is one of the things that we're hoping for this year for each one of us? Is to get into God's word more. Why? Because there's going to be opportunities like this that God is going to guide you. The fact of you praying more, studying more, getting closer to God more, isn't just for the sake of saying, whew, I feel good. No, there's a purpose. There is a someone out there waiting for you in a chariot on the side of the road, waiting for you to come by and say, do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what's going on in our life today? Do you understand what's happening? I don't. Why don't you explain it to me? Let's just say Philip, all he was really good at was cleaning tables. Philip was really good at demonstrating the power of God. But when it came to the knowledge of the Word of God, he didn't know. There's a lot of Christians that are like that. They know how to play church. But when it comes to do you know Scripture? John 3:16. I know somewhere Jesus wept. Psalms 23. Right? We can quote these ones. The Lord is my shepherd. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. And we kind of stop from there. But the ability to know, and he says, do you understand what you're reading? He goes, how can I understand unless someone teaches me? God is going to set you up. My friend, I'm also hoping. I'm hoping you stay because you're an awesome guy. But I am praying God's will in your life. Now, if it is to go, it's not because of this great job, because there's someone waiting for you on the side of the road, maybe in a chariot, saying, hey, could you help me understand this word of God? I believe God is guiding every one of us to someone. And it may even be somewhere. Here, it wasn't in his own community. He said, the Spirit, the angel of the Lord said to him, get up and go down this. And notice what it said. It was pretty descriptive. It says this desert road. He didn't just get in his car and fill the tank and know, okay, I'm going to go for a while. We're talking to this guy just, okay, gets on it. He starts walking down this lonely desert road. Usually we're like, no, I want to go to the mountains. I don't want to go to the desert. I don't want to walk on the heat. There's going to be, when God calls us to some places, It's not going to be the most elegant, comfortable setting that we want. It's going to be because there's someone there that's hurting, that needs you. And it may be uncomfortable in the situation that you're dealing with, but God is guiding you and leading you. So they read scripture. We're almost done here. They read the verses. Verse 34. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Again, they were reading Isaiah. Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's some water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Then it goes into chapter 9. I don't know if you guys really caught this here. We're talking about wanting to get deeper with God. We're talking about wanting to just get into God and let the core of who we are be about God. In this situation right here, in the time of persecution, in the time of everything going on, God guides them to this one individual. That individual understands this story about Jesus, and he says, "I want to get baptized." So they get baptized. But when they come out of the water, the Bible is really clear right here and says, and Philip wasn't there no more. Now, some people can get like really, what happened here, Twilight Zone stuff or whatever. I mean, literally, was he like just that fast? And, you know, the eunuch is cleaning his eyes and he's, where'd he go? Did he vanish? It doesn't say he just walked away. He just said he appeared at another place. Okay, let me just take that moment for, remember we talked about that we live in two worlds. There is a spiritual world, an invisible world that we live in today, every one of us. We understand it. Scientifically, it's been proven there is an invisible world. How does the internet work? Do you see it? No. Breathe in, everybody. Do you see the oxygen? No. Do you hear, you know, the radio waves, sound waves? Do you see it? No, there is an invisible world that we live in, and yet in that invisible world, there's a spiritual world there too. Now, whether I just think it's a cool story to believe that when they came out of the water, he was gone. That's the way I want to believe. Now, what do you say? He just walked away fast? That's what you choose to believe. I just believe that, man, he was so close to God that God says, okay, I need you over here now. Can you just imagine being Philip? He's coming out of the water, excited to see his new friend being baptized, and he finds himself in another city. He's like, what? Anybody watch Doctor Who? Okay, so we'll talk later. Okay, so it's the same concept, just the idea of people thinking like, what? How did that? No way. He just walked away fast. Whatever you want to believe. In this scenario, nonetheless, it just said that God used him so powerfully. And then from that point, he appears in another place, and God uses him there and uses him there. God was guiding him every step of the way. Maybe that could be our prayer for this week. God, guide me in the times that we're living in today, very similar to Philip. Now, we may not deal with that persecution here like he's dealing there, or like our Christian brothers and sisters that are in the Middle East that are dealing with it directly. But you might deal with some issues at school, at work, in your neighborhood, among whoever, family members that are coming against you for taking a stand for Christ. Maybe we can pray, God, through no matter what is happening to me, I pray that I can hear your voice, and I could be guided by you. No matter what threatens me, even bill collectors, no matter what threatens me, my job, our security, our issue, I'll have peace because I know, God, you are a lamp unto my path and you guide my every step. Amen? Amen. Stand with me, guys. Let me pray and I invite our worship team to come up. And again, we're just trying to figure out, Lord, how do we keep these three things? How do we keep these three challenges, which could become great habits in our life? Not resolutions, not something to resolve, but something to develop, a habit, a good habit of reading God's word, a good habit of always thinking of others, to lay hands and pray that God would help them in their situation. A great habit to pray, a great habit to be led by God to preach his word, to share to whoever he may bring us. I want you to think about that the next time you break down. I want you to think, okay, God, who am I supposed to talk to? When something doesn't go your way in that day, you got your day planned out and you got an interruption. Do you remember Jesus was on his way to heal or to raise from the dead the little girl that died? And on his way, the crowd were pressed upon him. And the Bible says that there was a lady with an issue of blood that pressed through the crowd. He was on his way for another cause. He had a direction. He had a goal in mind of what he was going to do. But there was an interruption. And this lady with the issue of blood came and touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible said she was healed. And the Lord said, who touched me? And the disciples, there's everyone touching you. What do you mean? He goes, no, faith. Faith left me. Who? And he found her and he says, daughter, you're healed. Did he say from that point on, did he look at her and say, why'd you interrupt me? I got something to go. I got something to do. I got to go raise someone from the dead. No, he dealt with that interruption and went on with what he had to do. So our life as well. Be prepared this week for interruptions. Be prepared for people that may interrupt your daily situation. But look at it, because if God is the one who guides your steps, look at it as an opportunity to share who you are in God. Let me pray and we'll worship, okay? God, I thank you so much again for just another opportunity to share your word. And I pray, God, that we, as we chew on this whole scripture here in Acts concerning Philip and Stephen, that, God, we would not give up. In times, tough times like Philip went through, he didn't give up. Actually, you used him in miraculous ways, mind-blowing ways. And God, that's what we want for this week. We want you to use us. That we wouldn't seek after signs and wonders, but signs and wonders would follow us. That God, you would lead us and prepare us for the interruptions that are going to come. Something's going to happen, Lord. We just want to be ready, in season and out of season. Always ready to preach your word and share your love. I thank you for my friends here, and I pray blessings upon them. And I pray, God, for, again, as Pastor Pat prayed, Lord, for all the issues and the prayer requests, God, I pray in partnership with him that, God, all these prayer requests, Lord, would be touched and healed, relationships mended. God, thank you so much for what you're doing. In Jesus, Lord, we praise you. Can we just keep our eyes closed as we worship God? If you know the song, just worship with them. If you don't, I'm going to encourage you to keep your eyes closed because I want you to be ministered to through this worship song. I want God to just speak to you through the words of this song as well.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, my feet may fail. Oceans deep, my faith will stand. I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. leaps and bounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. When fear in my family, fear surrounds me. You've never failed, and you won't start now. I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Whoa. And you are mine. Whoa.
Jesus.